Good morning. I am David Clausen, and I will be doing the message here this morning. So if you have not been here for the past 3 weeks, we've been going through our core values. And today, we are on our last one, driven by compassion. So, but before we get started, would you join me in a prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we just ask you to seal those prayers for Sheldon, first of all, Lord God, for that healing, Lord. And we just ask, Father, as I go through the word here this morning, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit is in this place, Lord God. Open our hearts, open our minds, Lord God, to receive what you have for us this morning, Lord. And I pray, empower me, give me strength to be able to just deliver the message that you have placed in my heart, Lord God. In your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, what are core values? They are values which form the foundations on which we work and conduct ourselves. Core values are the DNA that define who we are and what God has called us here at City Light Church to be. So our mission, our vision is to reach people for Jesus Christ one person at a time. And our mission is making biblical disciples through authentic relationships. And the core values support and drive this vision and mission. So I just want to do a brief recap on the past core values that we've been going through. So number one was bridging the culture, which Burton preached. It was an awesome message. If you have not heard it, go on to our new app, and it's right there, ready to go. So bridging the culture. We need to be outward focused to reach people for Jesus Christ. We do that by building bridges with people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different age groups. And number two, again, Burton. So messages on the web there. Build authentic relationships. Relationships need to be built. Relationships need to be authentic. And relationships need to be for a lifetime. This is done primarily through the community and family by small groups. So, and number three, which was last week, Brent Granger preached that one, empowering ministry potential. Now, the core of his message was doing something great for God is something, sometimes us doing what we can do and stepping out in faith. And then God shows up and he empowers us to do the rest, right? But it involves not just waiting, but it's also us stepping out in faith. And number four, which is the one that we're covering today, driven by compassion. So we want to be a church of all generations and of all cultures here. So what does the dictionary say about compassion? Compassion, deep awareness of the suffering of another accompanied by the wish to relieve it, or the human quality of understanding the suffering of others and wanting to do something about it. So it is us understanding the suffering of others. So our scripture today, which I kind of will be our baseline, is Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So I think where it kind of starts, compassion, it starts from us knowing the compassion that God had on us, first of all, right? And knowing that we are holy and dearly loved by him. So the more we become aware of what God has done in our own lives and what he has saved us from, the more we can show compassion to other people. And so it comes from that particular point. If we understand the richness that we have in Christ, we are able to show that. So in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, "For our sake he made him who knew him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So he has given us the privilege of becoming righteous, righteous before God. And as you know, it's not of any of our own doing, but it is purely by His grace, by His power that He has done this. And I think this is why sometimes it is difficult for us to accept that righteousness, accept that gift of God in our own lives. And sometimes we, and I don't know if where you've come from, but we end up working through a process of trying to earn salvation, trying to earn what God has already done for us. But there is no way to earn it. There is no way for us to. We simply have to humble ourselves and accept God's grace for our lives. Just got a quote here. The author is unknown. It says, "It is the lack of love for ourselves that inhibits our compassion toward others. If we make friends with ourselves, then there is no obstacle to opening our hearts and minds to others." So it is accepting the value that basically God has placed on our lives just purely because of the reason of Christ dying on the cross for us. So if we are not healthy ourselves, we are not able to focus on others. And I don't know if you know what that means. Like, what I'm trying to say is, when we're so focused on our own pain and we don't know the solution, or we have not found a way where God is speaking into our lives or God is moving through our life, we are sometimes so consumed by our own need, our own salvation that we figure we still need, or healing that we still need, that we cannot even focus out, right? We cannot focus on others. So 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4, it says, "Who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So God is the one that comforts us, right? And so as we are comforted, we are to do likewise with others, right? We are the vessel of God. As we walk out, we have His Holy Spirit. And as we walk forward, we are able to also comfort those with the Word of God. So, for instance, Sheldon here this morning, you know, we are called to comfort others because we have good news, right? In John 3:16 or 17, he says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." So if you're here today and you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, at the end of this message, there will be an opportunity for you to come, maybe come forward if that's maybe a place where you want to start. But it always starts with God gives the invitation. And if we accept, it is truly a free gift. If we accept, our lives will truly change. Because it is not just in our own power that we will change, but it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that He gives as well, right? So, as we move into the realization of that we are holy strictly because of Christ, strictly because of what He has done for us, I believe we can move forward and we can clothe ourselves with compassion. Now, when I say clothe ourselves with compassion, I believe that it is an attitude of compassion, right? So as we look out, and I have three, I think I have three ways that you can kind of very simply make this a habit or an attitude in your life. So I think looking for ways to encourage somebody, and I always think that is a good example for Sheldon. I see the young guys surrounding him when he comes into church, and they're praying with him and so on. And it is truly, you know, Sheldon, he's been a great influence with the ushers and so on. We're really glad to have him here, even with our men's breakfast and so on. So that is exactly what church is supposed to look like. We are encouraging people. We are surrounding them. And hey, if you truly need somebody to mow your lawn, I'm sure there is somebody that will mow your lawn, you know, on a weekly basis, if that is it, right? Well, honestly, it should be, right? Because we are a church. We surround those that are in need. And if there is a need, I sure hope that it would be filled by somebody here in the church that is looking out for him, right? Acts of kindness. You know, I don't know where I got this from, but and I don't want to brag about myself. You know, there's many opportunities I've missed myself, but I think acts of kindness, they're very easy to do. Just for instance, I was sitting in the London Drugs parking lot, and a guy knocks on my window, and he's asking me for some money. He says, I've run out of money. I need to buy some groceries for my family. You know, I just don't have anything. And right away, I could smell booze on his breath, you know, and, you know, he most likely drank his money away, and maybe he doesn't have money for his family, right? But I've decided a long time ago that, you know, we live in an age, a cashless society, right? So you have plastic with you, but you don't have cash with you, right? So, you know, I say, hey, okay, well, let's go into the store. Let's grab a cart and we'll start filling it up and whatever you need. And so you just, you know, you go in and you just start throwing stuff in. You know, that's just, and then come to the till, you pay for it and away he goes, right? He has his groceries that he needs. And it's similar to, you know, if I run into a homeless person and all of a sudden he says, hey, do you have some change for some food? Usually, I don't have change for food. So if there's a gas station nearby or a restaurant, I'll go and buy him a meal. But the reason I'm saying these things is it is very simple to do. We just need to take the time to reach out to others, right? Don't just say a strict no, you know, you're going to use it for booze or you're going to do it for this. But if that's what you're concerned about, why don't you just buy that for them? Why don't you just buy them a meal? Why don't you just buy them some groceries, right? So words of encouragement. So I think we notice when people are downcast, right? We notice when people are having a hard time. And I think as a church, we should... And I think this church is good. We do reach out to people that we see are suffering or are in pain. We step out of our comfort zone and just say, hey, I just want to pray for you, right? And don't say, I will pray for you. Pray for them right there and then. It's another habit I think that we can form, that we, instead of saying, I will be praying for you, you just right there pray for them, right? You just step out of your comfort zone and just pray. There's a story in a certain region of South Africa. When someone does something wrong, he is taken to the center of the village and surrounded by his tribe for 2 days while they speak of all the good he has done. They believe that each person is good, yet sometimes we make mistakes, which is really a cry for help. They unite in this ritual to encourage the person to connect with his true nature. The belief is that the unity and affirmation have more power to change behavior than shame and punishment. This is known as Ubuntu. I know I'm not saying that right, but humanity towards others basically was what it means. I just, when I read this story, it just really reminded me, you know, on the other side of it, sometimes, you know, when people make mistakes, we want to tell them about the mistakes that they have made. But I think the opposite is true every single time. If we affirm them in who God has made them to be, affirm them in what God is doing in their lives, they're more likely to change than if they're reminded consistently of what the wrong that they have done, right? So we need to surround people with a positive attitude and a positive, hey, you know what? You can do it through Christ, right? And that is true. Anything is possible through God, right? If we have that attitude. Kindness and humility. I really like this story. It's King David. And when he shows compassion towards Jonathan's son. So King David is, one day, I don't know what he was praying, and he kind of, he remembered his oath that he had with Jonathan. Jonathan was Saul's son. They were great friends, and they promised each other that they'd always be kind to each other's families. And so years later, after David's been ruling for a long time, David remembers this. And he calls in one of Saul's old servants, and he asks him, is there anybody that's still alive from Jonathan's family? And the servant says, yes, there is one of his sons is still alive. He's been lame since birth. His nurse was fleeing danger, and she dropped him. And I don't know whether he broke his feet or whatever, but it says he's lame on both in both his feet. So King David says, "Well, bring him here." And so I can just imagine this guy. You know, you got this royal officials coming to his house and saying, "You have to come with us. You're going to before the king." And in those days, you know, a lot of times when there was a new king that came into power, most of the time the old family, royal family, would be killed because so there's no danger of them wanting to take the throne again. So you can just see this guy, and I don't know how long of a trip that was. You know, he's going along on a horse, and he's just, you know, I'm a goner. And so as he comes before the king, David reassures him. He says, you know, "Don't fear. I want to bless you because of what your father, Jonathan. I want to bless you." And, you know, King David, he did not have to bless this guy. I mean, there was no obligation. It was purely him, but it speaks to the heart of his connection with God, right? That he wanted to bless this person. And so he says, "Well, you know, I want to bless you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you all of Saul's land that he used to own, everything." And then he calls in the servant that used to serve Saul, and he says, you and your sons will actually till the land and bring in the harvest for this son." And so you think, "Oh, you know, that's pretty awesome already. Now this guy is provided for. You know, he's gonna be able to live as he wants." But then he says, he goes over and above, and he says, "You will also come into my house and you will eat with me every single day. You will eat at the king's table." So I just, you know, it just reminds me again, you know, the picture of God, right? Of God calling us back and God calling us, you know, He's the generous person. We are the lame man coming before God. He is the one pouring out blessing on our lives, right? So Ephesians 4, verse 32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." So God is consistently, continually calling out to us. Just got another quote here. Again, author unknown. Just said, "Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. So be kind, always." So we don't know what people go through. We don't know the pains and the hurts they have in their lives. So be compassionate, be kind. And that is one of those things, again, an attitude, right? That we first assume the good things in people versus the bad things, right? And I know that's a difficult thing. Depending on which walk of life you've come from, there's people that have taken advantage of you, people have hurt you, and that kind of jades us to that particular slant, right? But God has been good to us, right? Gentleness and patience. I just, when I was kind of looking at this, I was reminded again, you know, of Jesus. I thought about Jesus at the well. You know, as he's sitting at the well, there's a Samaritan woman that comes his way. And in those days, Samaritans were considered unclean. You know, Jews would not associate with Samaritans. And they would travel around their towns and cities to avoid them at all costs. But here's Jesus sitting at the well. And as the Samaritan woman comes his way, and he just very kindly says, "Hey, would you mind giving me a drink?" And this woman is kind of stunned that this Jew would talk to her, right? Because she's a Samaritan. And, you know, if you know her background, she's definitely not the most righteous person. So he kind of, you know, yeah, well, he says, "Well, if you knew who I am, you know, you would ask me for living water." And so through this story, he already knows, he's being kind. He already knows that she's been married 4, 5, 6 times. You know, God has revealed that to him already. But he just, through a gentle way, he brings it through conversation, and he kind of brings it around, and all of a sudden he says, "Yeah, I already know. I already know that you are not right. I'm still talking to you. I still think that you have value." And I think that the way he's speaking to her with value, right? Even though, but he reveals at the end, "Hey, I already know that you don't come from the right background. I already know that you've been married six guys, and you're with another guy that you're not even married to, right? But this is what God has for you, right? I just think that's such a beautiful picture of God, Jesus building bridges, you know, with people that you know you normally don't associate with, right? But no matter what, you see the value that God has in them, right? So, Bill Bennett, one of his quotes, he says, "How we walk with the broken speaks louder than how we sit with the great." And I think a lot of times in our world, I think it is a confused thing, right? It is exactly the opposite of what the world says. The world says the exact opposite of that particular quote, right? But I think we need to realize as Christians, it is not the great people we sit with. And we've seen that with the Pharisees as well, right? They looked for the prominent seats, right? They looked for the best seats in the house. But, you know, Jesus says, don't do that. Go sit in the back. And when the person comes out and sees you sitting in the back, he'll call you up. And so what Jesus is basically saying, let God elevate you, right? Let God elevate you. Don't worry about what people think. In Mark 3, verse 5, he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Jesus Christ did not go about his work from a cold sense of duty, but his own heart drew him out toward those he helped and saved. His deeds of mercy cost him something more than just the sacrifice of leisure and the expenditure of effort and power. They cost him heartache. He made other men's sorrows his own sorrows, other men's agony his own agony, other men's sin and shame his own sin and shame. He could not look upon misery, pain, death, or sin without heart pangs. Jesus, to the very end, even on the cross, as he sits there in pain, and you know, if you can imagine, Jesus is there. He's hanging on the cross. He's been whipped. He's been beaten to the point of being unrecognizable. He's hanging on the cross with nails through his arms. As he hangs there, he still is mindful of the thief beside him who defends him, and he says, today you will be in my kingdom, right? He's still offering salvation. Even in those last moments when your pain, the pain that he must have felt was beyond what he was even crying out, right? They tried to give him some wine for the pain. But even at that moment, he was still crying out for the people to be saved, right? He says, forgive them. They know not what they do. So if you are here today, and I truly believe, like it says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus is still crying out. And he went through the pain for you, so you don't have to. So as we finish up here, I want you to bow your heads in prayer. And if there's somebody out here this morning that you felt like, hey, today is the day that that I need to come to God. I need to come to salvation. I believe that that it says in the Bible, today is the day of salvation, right? Don't wait for another day. If you feel God is calling you, if you feel like God is asking you to come his way, won't you just join me in prayer here this morning? So just repeat after me. God, please forgive me for all that I have done wrong. I believe in you sent your son, Jesus, to set me free. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. From now on, I am following you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. so I can have power to change for the rest of my life. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. If there was somebody there here this morning that said that prayer, would you mind just lifting your hands? Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, as we draw this service to a close, Lord, we just want to praise and thank you, Lord God, for what you have done on the cross. The compassion that you show throughout the Word. From the very beginning of Genesis to the very end of Revelations, Lord God, you show compassion. You're crying out for us to come your way, Lord. And you've done it all now, Lord God. You even said, I will send the Holy Spirit to empower you to do what I've called you to do. So you've even left that part, haven't even left that part out. It is your power that empowers us, Lord God. So fill us today with your Holy Spirit to empower us, Lord God, to go out, to be kind, to be generous, to be compassionate to those in need, Lord God. In your Son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.